some cobras and fire. Cobras and fire, sex in your headphones. Cobras and fire, while work or at home. On a mission for to save rock and roll. For the rock and rollers, there's cobras and fire. Cobras and fire, rock's not dead. Cobras and fire, you just found it, my friend. On a mission for to save rock and roll. For you rock and rollers, here's cobras and fire. And fire.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by the effervescent and always top five, Loose Cannon. Loose, how you doing?
My God, I have just cracked open my sixth beer, and for the time we've been here, that's actually a lot. So this is our third episode we're recording one night, just to, you know, pull back the curtain.
You sound lucid, Loose.
I do. I'm ready to roll. Let's do our top five before I pass out and have to get up at 7:30 a.m. With the kids tomorrow. What do you say?
And when you say top five, you mean the top five times we've cleaned the cannon.
I'm sorry, what?
You know, loosened up, waxed the bishop.
Boxed the clown?
Boxed the clown, yeah.
Okay, all right. Enough euphemisms and double entendres.
Or not a euphemism. There's literally a clown in here, and we're boxing.
That's right. It's Pennywise. All right, so let's roll. What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about euphemisms for masturbation.
Oh, God. You want me to get that? You want me to? You know what? I'm going to splice in the beginning of the sex, sex, and rock and roll episode right now.
Yeah, do it.
That's the best.
Have sex! Yeah!
Have you ever vulcanized the whoopee stick in the ham wallet?
Yeah, I mean, it was earlier today I did.
How about batter dipping the cranny axe in the gut locker?
Well, you know, when I was younger, but not a long time.
How about cattle prodding the oyster ditch with a lap rocket? What about marinating the nether rod in the squish mitten?
Okay, now you're just getting ridiculous.
Okay. One last one, though. Mm-hmm. And this one maybe as you have done. Have you ever pressure washed the quiver bone in the bitch wrinkle?
Not since I gave up church.
Yeah, man. With your references to the word squish, I'm not sure if was that the first time you've heard that in that little clip, was because that was the term squish mitten. Yes.
Oh no. I mean, I've definitely heard. It's a very popular term here in the Twin Cities.
I've never heard of it before until you said it. It's terrible. So there's definitely going to be charges just for this podcast alone. We are going to be in the news soon, don't you think?
I hope so. Otherwise, I'm not sure what the hell I'm doing here.
The only thing you have to do, though, is if you get accused, you have to pay $50,000 for a week to go in sex rehab, which I believe you just go in there and you know, what do? You just watch Netflix for a week?
Sex rehab sounds like fun, doesn't it?
What do you do?
It's almost like a Spinal Tap song. Turn it up to 11.
But
sex hab rehab, baby. Gonna take you up to heaven.
What do they do there, though? What, like somebody that works there? Where do you work at? I work at a sex rehab facility. What do you do? Well, we charge people.
Jerk off old dudes.
They're fine. They have a whole.
You're cured.
They have a whole team called. Hey, what are you part of? I'm part of the.
That'll be $50,000. You're cured.
I'm part of the rub you out crew.
here's your pre-written apology.
That's right. Here you go. Certified.
Included.
Yeah. Oh my God. So anyway, so let's move on. Let's do our top five.
Yeah, top five records of the year, baby.
Yeah, let's do our list. Who wants to go first? You want to break it down? You got any stories to talk about first? Well, maybe we'll throw some gibberish in later. Let's get down to the music first. What do you say?
Well, I have honors, and then coming in at number five on my list is a band out of Brazil.
Brazil? All right.
Brazil, I tell you. That's all you got? Okay. Owl Company, we talked about them a little bit, but we've never played anything
by them. You're not playing anything by Owl Country. Owl City?
Owl County.
What? Is that where koalas live? Is that where Brazil is? I don't know too much about
Brazil.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Koalas and zebras.
Mm. Awesome. Is that the name of the album?
Anyway, I don't know a whole lot about this band. Their manager reached out to me shortly before the record came out and asked me to do a record review on it. And for whatever, I mean, I get hit with this stuff a lot, but for some reason this one stuck out in my email thread, and I checked it out, and I loved the entire record.
Cool.
They do not sound... I mean, it sounds very like almost like imagine if Hell Yeah wrote good songs. This is kind of what it sounds like.
That's a good imagination.
Yeah, I mean, it's got that kind of southern rock, heavy but not thrash, you know. And it's just I don't know, just a brilliant record. I think I should have shared this with you a while back. I know I've talked about it a little bit on the show, but since we haven't really featured them, we really should, and I'd like to play a song called Black and Blue. Is that cool?
Oh, man, I'm excited about this. Is this a whole, like, a story song, like the whole background about the band Black and Blue?
Nope.
Does it have the lyrics, the whiter the better, like the Van Halen song Black and Blue?
No, don't draw the line loose.
All right, let's just play it. We'll be right back.
So for my first five, you obviously know it's not Owl City. It's Owl Company. And Owl City from my hometown, Owatonna, not making my hometown better, yeah, making it worse.
All right. Fair enough. So, yeah.
Anyway, so, what's on your plate? What do you got for your number five?
Well, it's kind of funny because I completely forgot about this album, but I listened to it so much mid-year. And then I was putting together my list. And again, the things, you know, because I don't have the physical copies because my kids destroy everything. I have everything digitally. I have either downloads or Spotify playlists and things of that nature. And this one kind of got lost in the shuffle. But, man, I've listened to this album, my God, so many times. But in the last couple months, no. And that is Body Count. Now.
Oh, yeah. Hey, can you send it to me?
Yeah, I'll send it to you after the show. Okay.
Absolutely. Drink.
Drink. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Oh, my God. So, top five. Body Count. The album is called Bloodlust. And this especially was my favorite album when I had a brief career as an Uber driver. Right? I was very angry. And and it, listen, Body Count, their first album was pretty good. They put out nothing but shit. I'm not going to go into my whole love of Ice-T, who is National Treasure, again. But in short, if you want to go down the Ice-T rabbit hole, go on YouTube. He does a TED Talk this year. He has an interview, one of my favorite that I looked at when I was obsessed earlier this year, where he, in like 1988, is on Oprah Winfrey, and he's sitting right next to, with an arm's length of Tipper Gore. And through the whole interview, they don't look at each other. They hate each other. He has, what is that guy called? Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys?
Jello Biafra.
That's how you say it.
Dead Kennedys.
Right. And they're doing the whole PMRC thing. He holds his own so well and basically just buries Tipper Gore through this interview. Anyway, he's an amazing artist with some terrible albums with Body Count. But this last one. You know, you love the cover of Institutionalized he has, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, okay. So that's great. But on this album, it has 11 tracks. It veers from highs to, like, just terrible. But the highs are 8 out of 11. They cover Raining Blood by Slayer. There's definitely some Slayer-ish riffs to this whole album. But I'm going to feature a song that has to do with drive-bys. And be careful if you're listening to this in your car, because the verse, yeah, it's a little bit mellow. But when it comes to the chorus, just make sure your bass is not up too high, because this is a song about drive-bys called This Is Why We Ride.
People always want to know the reason for what they consider senseless violence in the hood. I'm going to break it down for you. This is why we ride. Why we ride. And this is why we ride. I gotta say this clear, I gotta say this loud. I should have been dead, don't know how I'm here now. I should have been dead, damn near 40 years ago. How the fuck did I survive? Something that I'll never
argument goes from little drama to big drama. Next thing you know, somebody's dead. I don't think you can understand. If you've never been in the streets and held your best friend in your arms, your child in your arms, and watched him breathe their last breath, 'cause somebody shot him dead in the streets, you ain't thinking about calling the police. You want revenge, and you want it now. I gotta be honest with you. If somebody were to kill me, shoot me right now, my last words wouldn't be peace. It'd be get those motherfuckers. This song is dedicated to all of you who have lost somebody to street violence.
Lewis, we get a lot of our show material from guys like Michael Sweet, who like to troll his own page, and
sure,
Vince Neil making trips to Chipotle. And of course, we love Bret Michaels for, you know, basically overcoming any minor malady that a human being might have as some heroic feat. And also getting stage props dropped on his head at the
time. Oh my god, I can't stop watching that. That was amazing. Just comes out. What was he playing? Nothing But a Good Time. He just got smashed.
They're lip syncing one of their own tunes for that whole Rock of Ages before it was a movie and it was just on the Broadway there.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the oddest, like, what a juxtaposition. Bret Michaels at the Tonys. And then, like, the only guy who can't see this I mean, how big was that thing that he got hit by?
It was an entire wall.
How did you not see this ship falling in front of you? And you're the only guy who doesn't know not to walk under it.
You know, the whole phrase, like, how could you not see that coming? They should just use that video.
How did you not see that coming?
Boom! And then you just keep showing that in a loop for like 5 seconds.
Well, he got hurt again. Did you hear about this?
He was on the Tonys again?
No, he just got hurt again, you know, because he's
I wonder if every time somebody, like, if he's at a party and somebody says, this is like, nice to meet you, I'm Tony, he just, like, falls over. What do you think? Or ducks, like, has some kind of, like, reflex, like somebody that's been abused, just all of a sudden.
Yeah,
just,
like a cupboard slams a little too loud. He's like,
Or just falls over. But anyway, continue.
No, Daddy!
Tony!
No, Tony! Tony's not his stepdad.
He's like, as long as your name's Tony and not Tony plural, I'm fine.
I don't have much to say about this other than that.
Just read it or describe it. That's all I need.
He went to Instagram to share his most recent malady, which was a football injury where he broke a toe because he was playing football with flip-flops.
What a dumb fuck. That is not proper footwear to begin with. And I know
nothing
about
but
footwear.
A good time with that guy, man.
I know about stairs. We both do. About stairs.
Yes, yes.
You don't want to have slippery socks. You don't want to wear flip-flops when you're playing football. And here's the thing. Which toe was it? Did he say which toe?
Oh, it's in the picture. I think it's either the middle or the one right inside the big gap.
Ooh, that's not good. You know, the thing about a broken toe is you can't really put a cast on it. You just got to let it sit. Have you ever broken a toe?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Actually, I would say this. With a broken toe, unless it's the big guy, You just suck it up.
Now, here's my question. I mean, if you were me, you, if you broke a toe today, and especially if you broke it playing football with flip-flops, would you post this in social media?
No. Actually, only if I could brag about breaking it wearing flip-flops.
Okay, you want to move on to another song here? You want to play a Select Poison song? You want to play...
Every Toe Has Its Corn?
That's perfect. Any other variations of... Let me see what kind of songs we could parody with feet. What do you think?
Win Big, Mama's Little Toe Ring.
That's nice. I like that.
You can look, but you can't give me a pedicure.
That wasn't that the opening track on Open Up and Say It? Ah, I broke my toe.
Oh my God.
Hey, what was that? What was the third album they have? Is it Native Toe?
That's like the fourth album, I think. Native Toe. You got the stand, unless you broke your toe wearing flip-flops playing football. Stand!
Oh, my God.
So, Brett Michaels, Jesus. Thank you for continuing to add to the never-ending material that we love to riff on here at Cobras and Fire. You are now in he's got to be heading towards the Hall of Fame here, right? The Cobras and Fire Hall of Fame with Vince Neil and, of course, Michael Sweet.
No, absolutely. I mean, however you want to rank the album, still my favorite is Flesh, Blood, and Flip Flops. What do you say?
Flip Flops and Blood.
Oh, anyway, you want to move on?
You got to cry tough. Unless you broke your toe. Flip Flops playing football.
Can we please? We've beaten this.
Give me something to put my foot in. Well, Led Zeppelin made a comeback this year in the form of Greta Van Fleet.
Yep.
As you know, I actually enjoy the EP, and I don't think anybody but me has made the connection between how much they sound like Led Zeppelin. Is that fair?
No, I think we broke it first.
So, but yeah, Greta Van Fleet, I actually like the EP they released. They got a second half of that out right now, which I haven't had a chance to hear yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No.
It's pretty fucking good, the four new songs. I have heard it.
Okay, well, I was going to pick something off the original one, but you want to play something off the new part?
No, man. I mean, just play something off the original one. It's all good.
Let's do the Black Smoke Rising track.
Fire!
in all seriousness, I've heard the other four songs. It's a total of 8 songs now, double EP, which is a funny term. but I think it's right around 28.
Shy of an LP.
I know. It's like, you've got 8 songs. I mean, come on. Back in the day, 8 songs was an album. You got Black Sabbath.
Just release 4 more and you have a triple EP.
Yes. That's twice we've used that. Every year they put out 4 more songs. They build it. This thing is going to be a quadruple LP or quadruple EP by 2019 at this rate. What do you say?
Yeah. I say yay.
Yes, exactly. So anyway.
What do you say? Absolutely. Drink.
All right. This is getting annoying for the listeners. We apologize. But yeah, man, so let's get on to the next song. What do you say?
Yeah, it's your pick.
All right. So number 4, and again, I think I said in the beginning of this, or at least talking about in the Blue Balls episode, an album, start to finish, has a flow, sequencing, perfection, and one that it's very rare these days that they can listen to an album start to finish, and it has the highs and lows. And what I mean by that is not the highs and lows as far as the quality of songs, but, you know, it just flows. And that is the band Goodbye June, which came out of nowhere for me. I know that you've seen them with, who'd you see them with?
I saw them at Northern Invasion last year, and then they came to town here at a bar that sadly is closing in about a week with Bad Flower.
Okay, so 2 great new bands. Again, Bad Flower is another example of, they have an EP out. Hopefully they come out with a full album. But there's an example. Goodbye June, Greta Van Fleet, and Bad Flower, all new bands put out EPs just to get it out, touring, things like that. So I'm not a big fan of the EPs, but it does have, of those bands, each song, there's really not a bad track on those EPs. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that's kind of
absolutely. Drink.
Oh, God damn it. Anyway, we already played Goodbye June in the last episode, but I don't give a shit. This song, I don't care who you are, it's very catchy, and it was their first single, and it's one that hooked me in there, and that is the track Daisy. We'll be right back. All right, Baco, what you got for number three? Let's power through this. What do you say?
Yeah, let's get to this, man. Number three for me is one of my all-time favorites. Somebody who I think should at least, I don't know, in some level be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, although I really don't give a shit, is Danzig had a new record this year. It's weird calling it Danzig, considering that it's basically just Glenn Danzig's solo career, but he continues to treat it like a band. But Danzig released a new record this album, Danzig released a new record this year called Black Laden Crown, and it's a pretty fucking solid record, man.
Did you feature a track from this earlier this year?
We have not played anything off this record yet, I don't believe.
Huh. All right. I think you did share this with me. But wasn't... Okay, so the previous year was the one that he put out that shitstorm of a cover album that sounded
like... Oh, yeah, that cover record. Like it was almost like he recorded it in a shoebox. Actually, he recorded the cover record in 12 different shoeboxes so that all the shoeboxes didn't sound the same.
Right. Right. You got your...
He said, fuck it, good enough, and left. And
well, the thing about it, though, as far as production is when you're using different shoeboxes, you know, loafers have different acoustics when you're recording.
Absolutely, yeah. Drink.
And then you got your high tops. Okay, fucking... God damn it. Please, I'm going to die before this episode is over.
Okay, fair enough. No, but yeah, get your... No, come on. I mean, that cover record was like... you know, I think pretty much almost every cover album record, like a record that's all covers, sucks. Mm-hmm. That was like the biggest fucking, you know, shit garbage heap ever. It was. It's like it showed up at the record store on fire.
They said it came with, you know, the deluxe edition actually comes with its own dumpster and a lighter. It's like the box set. It's like the Gene Simmons box set times you have to pay $3,000 for it.
A little bit of butane fluid, a pack of matches, and a tiny dumpster. So you can...
hey.
Its own dumpster fire when you get it.
No, I mean, it's like Danzig's like, fuck you, Gene. I got this thing. It's $5,000. It's an entire dumpster. It's
we
legal.
Have revolutionized the box set.
That's right. All right, continue.
So but he rebounded well. I think it's probably his best record. And I look, it's late in the evening, Luce. It's been a while since he's had a record this good. But I haven't minded the last few other than that fucking, you know, pile of shit cover album.
Sure. What do you got? What do you got feature?
Devil on Highway 9.
Devil on Highway 9. devil to the metal, let that engine roll. Got 100 miles left to jam. Keep your eyes on the line, don't you waste no time, and leave the chips in your dust to cry. Devil on! Devil on Highway 9. Devil on! Devil on Highway 9. Devil on Highway 9. Devil on. Devil on Highway
9. Track, Bako. I gotta say, I would like to hear a mashup of that song and your interview with Doyle.
I think you're the man to make that happen,
Liz. I might do it. I might surprise you with that. So yeah, it's like that song and then a phone that's underwater that was in 1940. Oh my god, that interview is so spectacular. We should actually just in between every episode just post that interview again. It's a bonus track. So people keep thinking it's new. It's the same 10-minute awkward interview.
What's your number 3?
All right. Number 3 is an album that is maybe 30 minutes long. And the first time that I listened to it 3 times, same day, right in a row. And that is an album that I can just...
And then your boss is like, why are you taking a 90-minute lunch?
Every day, motherfucker. Every day. If you get your stuff done, it does not matter, Bako. Who cares? Is there a timer on excellence? No, there is not. Okay?
Absolutely not. There is no such thing as an excellence timer.
That's
no,
right.
There is such a thing as an egg-cellence timer.
No, it's an egg timer. Egg timer?
Oh,
what the hell is
yeah,
an egg timer? What is an egg timer? Does anybody actually use that? At some point where they're like, how long do my eggs take to cook? Really? You can't just look at them? Seriously? What the fuck is an egg timer? Anyway, the album is Wildlife, and it's called Out on Your Block or Block on Your Out. Whatever it is, it's 30 minutes long, 10 tracks. It's perfect. And I'm going to feature a song called Deadbeat that involves spelling and also has references to one of Bako's second favorite beers, Corona Lime.
Well, I don't want to work hard and I can't pay rent. I'd rather get bent. I had a day job, but I just couldn't hack it. And I was fine getting busy, killing time, hanging at my mom's, drinking Bud Light Lime. She's sure I'm a slob, living in a leather jacket. You're either falling in line, or you follow your heart. You're either living your life, or you're falling apart. Settle down and mess around with me. I'm a D-E-A-D-B-E-A-D-Dead-B. No hope, no life,
for D-E-A-T-B-E-A-T, Debbie. I'm a D-E-A-T-B-E-A-T, Debbie. I'm a D-E-A-T-B-E-A-T, Debbie. I'm a D-E-A-T-B-E-A-T, Debbie. I'm a D-E-A-T-B-E-A-T, Debbie. No hope, no life, just a way to be. Passed out on the couch, looking for company. I'm a Debbie, boo. Come on, I'm a Debbie.
All right, going forward in 2018, I have one mantra that we have to adhere to. You ready?
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
No band, no song, no person's name or given name, fake or not, that includes the word wild, spelled with a Y or an I.
So you're... so.
No more Ginger and the Wild Hearts, no more something wild.
Zach Hart. Wild. Zach Wild.
No Zach Wild. No, whatever the hell you just played. Be creative, people. The word wild heart has been beat to death.
By the way, quick. I agree. Actually, I think all bands, no band should have misspellings for search results, period.
Unless you're using two Z's.
Well, that's well, only Billy Hardaway would search for a band with two Z's. Enough.
How many records in Billy Hardaway's record collection have an X and a Z in the title?
Almost all of them. It's like he probably has like Z Top. He's probably got one of those. That's a glam band version of ZZ Top.
Oh god.
Anyway,
the glam version.
So another fun fact about the Wildlife album, it was produced by the lead singer of the Biters, who's also excellent at managing his merch store, if you recall. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, have XL on there, but don't yell when people are going to buy, trying to buy your stuff. The point is that the Wildlife album is pretty much what the Biters album should have been. So he pretty much, I don't know if he co-wrote a lot of the songs or whatever happened, but that album just crushed the Biters album. So I don't know how they know each other, but it was just very odd, the fact that turned out almost like the Biters sophomore album should have been. But what do you got for number two?
For number two, the deuce that I'd never want to drop.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Like me?
I texted you that earlier.
Yeah, I know. It's a beautiful, it's one of the most, I have to say, one of the most
nicest things I ever said.
Heartwarming. We should put it on a Christmas card. You're the deuce, yes. I never want to drop. Merry Christmas.
Hey, that should be the Cobras and Fire next year.
We'll send that to all of our fans.
Actually, we have time. Maybe we squeeze that in this year. Yeah, or squeeze it out. Number two for me is Bubble Flex. But yeah, they had a new record out this year. What was it, September or something like that? Eloquent Demons. I know.
Great title, by the way. Great album cover.
Yeah. Both one of their best things. Album covers, I think, maybe, probably my favorite.
No, it's definitely their best. But again, the name, Eloquent Demons. It's just a cool-sounding phrase, name, title.
This album's great, isn't it?
It really is. And it's an album in that sense where it has a theme, a little bit of a theme, where it's got the intro where it just talks about, you know, it's pretty political, like some of it. You know, it's got different themes and everything like that, but the lyrics are... just they're spot on. The intro is like kind of I would compare it to like a Shout the Devil intro, right? Sort of.
Yeah, it's political, but yet it doesn't really draw a line in the sand. No. You know, I mean, it's not like Bruce Springsteen saying I'm touring in support of not voting for Bush. This is more like political in the sense of like exposing what they feel about the political system. Is that fair?
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a badass intro. It flows into the rest of the album. It's 10 tracks.
Yeah, you know. And from the first song to the end, it sounds like an album.
Yes. And that's actually, I don't mean to keep stepping on your toes as like Brett Michaels' toes, but the, you know, about this, their last album had 13 tracks, for example, was about 50 minutes long, and it had less solid songs. What was that called? Anything That Moves? Anything That Moves. And the one before that was Charlatan's Web, which was same thing. Intro track, 9 songs, much better.
Plus, this record had a cover that they released ahead of it that actually fit within the whole theme of the
everything. It really does. I like it better on the album than I did as a single, and I heard it as a single.
Yeah, it's a much better, mix or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm gonna. Anytime we talk about Bobo Flex, I'm gonna chime in on my one major glaring issue with rock and roll in this country, and that is that, like, if "Bury Me With My Guns On" should be one of those, like, just automatic tunes that every redneck in the country knows. This is a song that should be played all the time on hard rock radio. It should be a staple.
And before kickoff.
Yes, it should be a kickoff at football games. It's one of those tunes that you should know without knowing who it is if you're one of those people that aren't like us. And the fact that that song just doesn't carry them through is a crime.
This conversation's over. To me, you could have stopped the suffering, you could have stopped the screams, but now your reign is over, and it's all up to me. I'm gonna show you what I mean.
That said, this is a great record, front to back. It's actually better than that song, and it's got a lot of good stuff on here. And well, is it time for me to pick my song, or did you have something else to say now that I'm done with my soapbox? I'm going to pick the last song, Reckless.
Why do you keep killing yourself?
We'll be right back.
about to look so tired. And I know it seems that no one will be at the end of the line. I know you're a trouble man, but you don't need to cry, 'cause I'm gonna be the friend you need in the darkest of night. Yes, I'm gonna be the friend you need in the darkest of night. All of your dreams, all that you are,
number two, Loose Cannon. What is your deuce?
I'll tell you what, my deuce is the same, and that is Boboflux. So I actually figured we're gonna have a couple overlaps here, so I've got a backup. All right, you ready?
Ooh, what's your backup?
My backup is pretty much our story.
Beep 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 beep.
No, we're not on a construction site. So we have a band that is pretty much a garbage album. They've got a great song that I wanted to feature. I was actually trying to slip it in, you know what I'm saying? For the last
White Snake. Two
that's right. For the last two episodes.
Hey, hey, hey.
I knew that was coming. But what I'm going to do is that this song summarizes the lyrics, what we've been doing tonight. That is basically the end of the day winds down, drinking, all the stuff, chaos. And that is a band called Sons of Texas, which I believe is out of Texas. I'm going to guess. If they're out of Minnesota, that's really odd. All the great songs have to do with drinking heavily after about 6 p.m. And this is a track just like that. So I would say this is our theme song for this episode. And that is Sons of Texas with Beneath the Riverbed. We'll be right back. All right, Baco.
All right, Luce.
We're coming to the end of the show. Let's hear your number one. What's your number one pick?
Not so quick there, buddy. I go last.
But we're going back and forth. You went first.
We went back and forth. Now we're not. What's your number one, bitch?
Whatever. All right. So my number one is an album that I guess how you base a lot of times your favorite albums is how many times you just keep going back to it. And I've gone back to this to the point where I'm sure you've had this too, where this specific album, I have thought, I have to stop listening to this album because I'm going to ruin it. Because sometimes you do that. You keep listening to it and you burn it out. This is not, I have not done that. I've not burned out in this album. And that is the band off their sophomore album, which does not have the sophomore jinx, which I like even more than their debut album, which I also liked. It was one of my top albums for that year too. And that is Gloria Sons with the album Young, Beauties, and Fools.
You son of a bitch.
What do you mean?
Of course, that's my record of the year too.
Yeah, I figured as much. I'll defer
to
you.
Isn't it so good, though? I mean, we're having fun with each other, but this album is... It's got some flaws, like an album cover. I don't really care for the album title. I don't know, but the music is just... I don't know. Like you said, I like it better than the last record.
It's consistent. It has an album where it's sequenced perfectly. There's so many little bits that jump out after repeat listens. The thing that elevates me too is I'm not, like we've talked about before, a band does not have to have great lyrics to be a great song, but both the singing style and the lyrics do take it next level. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think the singer's name is Brett Emmons, and he's also the main lyricist. Another mm-hmm. brother band, by the way. His brother's a guitar player.
Did not know
he
that.
He has to be put two albums in now. He has to be put in the conversation of, you know, one of the best lyricists in rock right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, very clever.
If
all
not
that stuff.
The best. I mean, I'm not sure off the top of my head who I'd put ahead of him. It's just, I mean, and it also, I don't know, did you feel this when you were listening back to the record? Like, there is almost like a disconnect on like how someone much younger than us views the world, but it still is so good to listen to.
I didn't think about it that way. All I think about is the fact that this is both our number one album, and it's not a, you know, cut your head off, throw it down the street or the alley album. It's a rock album, but it's just so well written that it's just as powerful as like a huge power chord, you know, like.
But like all the drug songs are about prescription drugs being used illegally.
It's like Oxycontin. When you can rhyme Oxycontin, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, fentanyl, yeah,
there's things about taxes. There's tax evasion. There's a lot of things about that.
Yeah, but you know, we're talking lyrics and melody. It's not, you know, one or the other. This record is so good. So what are we gonna do here? Do play two songs by it?
No, I'll pick a backup because I have a couple like just random singles from bands. So how about I go first and then you can go into and you'll finish it off with a track from them. Does that work?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Why don't we do this? Okay. We'll pick your backup track. We'll come out of that. We'll do our little sign off, and then we'll close the show with my pick on this record.
That works. That works. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, because my ego.
That's fine. You know. So one of the bands that I started off this entire show with that people don't really know, and hopefully they're getting to know them more, is a band out of Ireland called Trucker Diablo. They sound like they're from Kentucky. They're similar, slightly similar to a Blackstone Cherry, except they don't have any songs that involve the word boom. And, you know, just a solid band. The most recent album that came out this year was done on Pledge Music. I featured this track, I believe, in an episode earlier this year, but I don't care. It's just a very anthemic song, and that's called Fighting for Everything. Paco, why don't you bring us home with your number one pick? What do you say?
Well, actually, I would like to share this with you. It's our number one pick.
Absolutely.
Drink.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Can this just end? Come on, lead us in, please.
Probably never.
What you got?
I think it's great that that we have the same album of the year. It's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think this is the first time in the 3 years we've been doing this that we had a consensus. But usually the top three includes one or two of the same records. We always have that, and that because of that, that's why I love you, buddy.
Yeah, that's why I'm really happy because this is the one of the songs that I sent you in the mixtape that I made for you.
Yes. I still have to head to Goodwill to buy a boombox so I can listen to it, but I'm really looking forward to hearing it. But oh my God, this record is great, right? We can leave it at that?
Yes, we can. Come on.
If you haven't heard it, you should go out and check out The Glorious Sons, The Young Beauties and Fools. It's the newest
Canadians.
Record. It came out in October. Mm-hmm. Fucking go to Amazon and use the Decibel Geek link and give them a percentage of your money while you listen to the best record of the year, baby.
Support real, straight up rock and roll.
And people who put together actual albums.
Yes. So let's do this. What's the name of the track? And let's do our sign off.
Okay. The name of the song we're going to play leading out is Godless, Graceless, and Young and Loose. Rock's not dead. It's hiding.
And you found it.
Just north of Minnesota in Canada.
Take a walk down Main Street. Tell me it ain't the most charming thing that you ever seen. With that cold breeze blowing off the lake in June. Don't go missing the summer. Let them balcony girls put you under the spell of the streets and the city beneath the sweating heavy moon.
Fucking solid episodes one night. That is a high five all around. Come on, right?
I'm air high-fiving you right now.
Boom.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.